From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Our nation is over 1 week removed from Election Day, and no matter which candidate or candidates Americans supported, it is beyond dispute that American voters cast their ballots in record numbers. The United States Elections Project, a nonpartisan organization whose mission is to provide timely and accurate election statistics, reported that over 158.7 million Americans cast their vote in the 2020 general election. Of this total, 65.5 million returned their ballots through the United States Postal Service. That's about 41% of the total votes cast in this election. To reflect on this historic number and the Postal Service performance in delivering democracy for America is NAPS National President Brian Wagner. Thanks for returning to NAPS Chat, Brian.
Bob, thanks for the invite again. Really appreciate it.
Before we get into your valuable work as part of the USPS's National Election Task Force, I'd like you to reflect on numerous media reports and reports generally about the tremendous reception that employees of the United States Postal Service have had relating to their patriotic responsibility of transporting election ballots. In fact, there have been ovations through streets in New York, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Houston, and around the country about them delivering and transporting the ballots.
You know, Bob, it makes you so proud to be a postal employee. I mean, every election year, we deliver. I mean, we've been doing this for years with handling the Postal Service, the America's Mail. And when you're seeing videos, YouTubes, people cheering the carrier driving down the street, picking up the collection box, or people just appreciative of the postal employees being at the window, taking in the ballots and just serving the customer, it makes you so proud. And let me tell you, this election season, yes, I was on the National Election Mail Task Force with the Postal Service, but our employees delivered this year in record numbers.
And particularly, it demonstrates this, their work demonstrates the importance of the Postal Service to our nation, performing an essential governmental service, and that is helping to effect an efficient and accurate recordation of voters' choice preferences in an election.
Well, and that's true, Bob, because as citizens, we have the right to vote, and we should exercise that right, whether or not we go stand in line and do it at the poll or through the mail. And I have all the confidence in the mail because I even voted absentee. I have a home in Illinois. I vote in Illinois. And I had all the trust and faith in the post office to get my ballot delivered on time.
Now, let's talk about the task force that the Postal Service created to make sure that the Postal Service operated efficiently within this COVID environment. Could you tell us a little bit about the background of the task force? This isn't something new or novel, is it?
No, Bob, it's not new. The Postal Service has always had an election mail task force. What they did this year, they expanded it. And we got a call, NAPS got a call on August 18th from the Postmaster General's office asking if we would participate in the Election Mail Task Force, the national. They're expanding it, along with the postal unions and the other management association. You know, and I felt it was very important for NAPS to be a participant in this so that we could give input on how to ensure the efficiency and delivery of all these ballots. Because I don't have to tell you, there is skepticism out there about whether or not ballots, you know, mail-in ballots are safe and things like that. We've been the most trusted organization, federal agency in the country. And I have all the faith in our employees to get the job done. And it was very important that the associations and the postal unions were brought in to give feedback, being what I would call the subject matter experts in the processing of mail.
Can you tell us what was the mission of the task force?
A lot of the mission of the task force was educating not only the Board of Elections in each state, because let's face it, there's 50 states, there's only one post office, but each of these states had their own rules. So one of the things that was very important was that the post office reached out to these secretaries of states about how mail is processed, the design of they're going to do an election mail ballot. Even Knapps sent out in early April a letter to these secretaries of states about going to the post office website on how to prepare their ballots and with their, with design, barcodes. The other thing was messaging, making sure the postal employees were aware of all the processes in place. One, how we were processing the mail, ensuring the postmarks, making sure that the mail, this ballots were tagged appropriately as election mail. And then we were actually educating the, you know, the consumer, the postal customer. Post office did television ads. They did a mailing about mailing their ballots early. So these are some very few things that, you know, good things that the post office did to make sure that they were educating the American public on the importance of mail-in ballots.
Now, I understand that the task force assigned election ambassadors in a lot of the larger facilities to make sure the mail was transiting through the processing plants quickly and accurately. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can, Bob. Let me tell you, the election mail task force at the national level, I represented Knapps, and of course, again, I said the unions and the other Postal Management Association were there. Now, on the 30,000-foot level, we don't have eyes in all these facilities, the 300 postal facilities out there in plants, you know, in stations and branches. So an idea came up to say, hey, look, is there a possibility to get what I call boots on the ground, eyes of efficiency in these facilities? So we came up with what they call, you could call it a local election mail task force or a mini task force. And we reached out to our NAMPS members while the unions reached out to their members to look for volunteers to be the eyes and ears and meet with plant managers, station managers, about getting these ballots, election mail ballots, mail-in ballots, you know, delivered and processed on time. And we had, even though it was short notice, we had approximately 60 NAPS members who volunteered. They did a great job. They provided us feedback. They would send us pictures of maybe something that was done right or needed some assistance on. You know, maybe something wasn't tagged right. They identified issues that got corrected quickly. It was outstanding. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to throw out a couple of name drops. Bobby Bach out of Florida actually did two facilities, kept me updated. And Pedro out of New York was one of our ballot ambassadors too. Excellent. I mean, all of our 60 ballot ambassadors did an outstanding job.
Now, how many times did the task force meet and what actually did they talk about during the task force meetings?
Well, first of all, our national task force met at least once a week on a Zoom call. One of the things we also did when we did this local election mail task force, we had a national Zoom meeting for them. We had over 1,400 people participating. And those who couldn't participate, I did for our NAPS members a special Zoom meeting for our ballot ambassadors. So we met weekly. The post office had their operations people, their legal counsel, reviewing how the ballots were going through, the number of ballots, how we've been processing the ballots, the number, addressing the media attention of ballots not making it. And I'll be honest with you, there was one report that 300,000 ballots were lost. They weren't lost. The post office was doing extraordinary efforts to get these ballots through the system quickly, and they were getting them to the Board of Elections. So some of them didn't get the final scan on the barcode machine. We understand that, but these ballots got delivered. So they made sure that we were postmarking appropriately. We were putting the ballots in the mail stream appropriately. They were tagged appropriately. And that we were following up with any issues that was maybe occurring in a certain state and addressed it.
What type of issues came up that were rectified rather quickly and efficiently by the task force and by boots on the ground?
Well, one of the things the post office wanted to do was make sure that these mail-in ballots were just dropped in the regular collection mail. Don't separate them out. And we were seeing that where people thinking, hey, I'm helping out. I'm separating the ballots. Well, they didn't want that done. They wanted it to go through this machines, through this process, get the postmark. And then if ballots didn't have a postmark, make sure that they were postmarked properly with regard to the guidelines. You know, and here's the strange thing. Each state has their own little rules. Some states required a stamp. Others had a business reply. Well, the business reply mails do not get postmark. So we had to postmark it because the states required a postmark. So normally these don't get a postmark. So extraordinary efforts were done to ensure postmarks were done in accordance with the law.
So the Postal Service basically changed its natural process with regard to business replies to accommodate those states that require the postmarks.
Correct. Extraordinary efforts by the Postal Service. Had we just done the processes that we have in place, some of these ballots wouldn't have got the postmark, but wouldn't have adhered to the law that each state required. So those are some of the challenges with each state having a different guidelines or laws on how they handle ballots. Now, I'll tell you, some of the ballots were mailed to the customer by marketing mail. Well, marketing mail is not first-class mail. So if you have mail that's not deliverable, usually it's UBBM, undeliverable bulk business mail. Well, in regular postal processes, you discard that. We don't do that with ballots. We kept them aside. We got them back to the Board of Elections, trying to figure out what they wanted us to do with them. And with that, all, you know, the ballots going back were, of course, first class, either with a stamp or a business reply mail. But the post office continually, on a regular basis, messaged out stand-up talks. We had emails going out. I was forwarding this information to our ballot ambassadors of NAPS, saying, hey, here it is. And I copied in our executive board so they were aware of what NAPS was doing and what the post office was doing, keeping everybody informed.
So the more recently, there have been a number, as you know, there have been a number of instances, particularly rulings out of the, in federal court about the District of Columbia about so-called sweeps of mail in the processing plants approaching Election Day and a day or two after Election Day for those states that were it required the postmark as of Election Day, but they still could receive ballots. Can you talk to the issue of sweeping the postal facilities of the election mail?
Yeah, during our regular weekly national election mail task force meetings, the post offices keep us up to date with regarding to whatever court rulings or requirements were required. And one of the things the post office was doing, they had at the end of October, we were told about the 28th or 29th, the inspection service was in the plant sweeping these facilities to make sure these election mail ballots were getting cleared. Now, there was a court ruling by Judge Sullivan to go in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to make sure these sweeps before the election. We were briefed by the Postal Service that the judge says don't change your processes. Well, the post office was sweeping this mail or sweeping for ballots at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, if you don't change your process or told not to, but then you have to go in at 3 o'clock, the ballots aren't coming in at 3. They're coming in later. But it was done if they could get it done. But they were already scheduled with the inspection service. But I can tell you, our ballot ambassadors were constantly looking for the ballots in the system to get them tagged correctly and get them through the process. So it was Herculean efforts by our postal employees who delivered again this year, you know, the mail-in ballots.
I know that you've been made aware of this. In Pennsylvania, there was an allegation made by a postal employee who apparently had issues, complaining that a supervisor had instructed him to do or had instructed other postal employees to backdate mail in order to accommodate whatever the rules are in the state of Pennsylvania. It's my understanding that was recanted. And could that have happened? Could it really have happened?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe it would have happened because, one, even if somebody dropped their ballot in the mail after Election Day, it's still mail, and we have an obligation of the Postal Service to make that delivery and postmark it appropriately when we receive it. I can tell you, people are watching to make sure that the balloting of the mail-in ballots was handled properly. Stand-up talks were done. You know, I have all the faith in our employees, our supervisors and managers to do the right thing. Because at the end of the day, the integrity of the Postal Service, and again, all eyes were on the post office leading up to this election, you know what? And our members delivered. Employees delivered.
Yeah, it's something odd that these allegations come out because I cannot think of more eyes on the Postal Service over the last 2 months than ever in the history of the Postal Service, because everyone was watching. The Congress was, the courts was, the administration was, and and I can, you know, it sort of astounds me that accusations like that could be made.
Well, again, we don't know what's inside the mail-in ballot envelope on the ballot itself. But the Postal Service, we're nonpartisan. We make sure every customer gets treated the same and we process their mail. We let democracy rule on what the American public want, how they vote. And again, all we were doing was delivering the ballots. And unfortunately, I'll be honest with you, Rob, I was very disturbed at times. And I'll tell you that people were saying they couldn't trust the post office. You know what? We deliver the ballots. We have nothing to do with how people vote. We just made sure that their vote got delivered. And I'm very, very proud. And I can't tell you enough how proud I am of our postal employees, our supervisors, our managers, you know, all the employees, the craft employees, stepping up. When there were, what, over 65 million mail-in ballots coming out this year. I mean, record numbers, unprecedented. And again, the post office, our employees stepped up and got the job done. You know, people may want to point fingers, but let me tell you, if you're pointing to the post office employees, you're pointing to them saying, thank you for doing a great job, because you did.
What's next? Do you think that the Postal Service will, over the long haul, invest more resources into the conduct of mail elections? And I know, you know, or do you think that this is something they really would prefer not to do?
Be honest with you, this would be an ideal opportunity for the post office to continue with this expanded election mail task force. It was so simple to vote by mail. Bob, I know you voted by mail. We did the picture on the Facebook. I voted by mail. Ivan voted by mail. 65 million people voted by mail. And yes, at the time, the post office had this internal election mail task force, and they expanded it. Now that we saw how successful it was, and it really was a team effort of the unions and postal management associations, along with postal leaders, coming together for the good of the American public, to get these ballots delivered. And I can see how the post office will continue this in every election that comes up, every 2 years. I know we vote every 2 years for the House of Representatives, every four for a president. But it was a big success, in my opinion, even though it was short notice, never fails to surprise me the post office employees deliver.
And also in municipal elections, which might be on the off years, as I say, the odd number years, there are mail elections going on in state like New Mexico and Colorado, Arizona, Oregon, Washington. I mean, not necessarily national elections. So this is not something that is new to them, but it's new to a lot of people who are used to going into their polling locations. But now this is, you can vote from home.
Right. And we show that voting by mail is efficient. It can be trusted. I'll be honest with you, Bob. I actually had a meeting with my congressional leader, my congressman, and I brought up the fact. I said, you know, it's surprising that when I did my mail-in ballot, I didn't have to put a stamp on my envelope. It was a business reply. But another member in my branch who lived in a different county had to put a stamp on their ballot in order to go through. And I told my congressman, I said, look, you know, what we need to do, I don't care how you make up the ballot, but the postal mail-in ballot, the envelope itself should be standard, because we had some difficulty with the post office on how some envelopes were designed that they didn't get read properly. We got it through, but the idea is there should be a national, I guess, mail-in ballot envelope standard. To me, no one should have to put a postage stamp to vote. That should be business reply. I think there should be an opportunity for Congress or to come up with a way to make sure that when you vote, it doesn't have to cost you a stamp. The post office will still get compensated for those mail-in ballots coming in. But why is one county paying a stamp on it and another county, somebody gets the mail for free, technically? I mean, the postage will be paid. But I think that's very important to look at from maybe on a legislative in the future. But as for the end of the day, when it comes to mail-in ballots and the Postal Service having an election mail task force, I hope they continue with the local one because they did an outstanding job and it was very successful.
Now, I assume the task force met after Election Day to do a review of how it went?
Right. We did have on the Thursday after the election to kind of to go over the processes, address any concerns. But overall, from talking with the team of the National, everybody felt we did an outstanding job. And again, it sounds like we're patting ourselves on the back. I'm patting the back of our postal employees who did an outstanding job. We did not hear or see of major issues of ballots coming in. Here's what I thought was strange, though. The post office did provide us the rules for each state. Some states required a postmark on or before the election, and the ballot had to be in on election day. Some states say it has to be postmarked, but you have 21 days. The state of Washington has 21 days to get these ballots in. And others are like, you don't have to have a postmark, and you got 5 days to get the ballots in. So it's like a lot of them have different rules. And when people say, oh, they found ballots in the mail. Well, of course you're going to find ballots in the mail after the election. If I mailed my ballot, my mail-in ballot on election day, and it's going to Illinois, it's going to take 3 or 4 days to get to Illinois. So you're going to see a ballot in the mail. It's not like it was delayed anywhere. It was just going through the process because I was voting absentee from another state.
So you're suggesting that there should be a standard that the postmark or the date in the mail should be the election day for everyone, and that if you count ballot, if it takes 3 or 4 days to get to the destination, that ballot is still a valid ballot.
Well, in my opinion, it's kind of like your taxes. As long as you have the postmark on your tax on let's say April 15th, it's postmarked, it's a valid vote, it's a valid, you know, your taxes are paid. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion as NAP's president. Or Brian Wagner, you know, as for what Congress does is whether or not you have a postmark or not have a postmark, that's the states have to come up with something so that people don't have a concern or a question, that it's pretty straightforward. But from what I've seen is no matter when you get that mail-in ballot in the mail, the post office will deliver it as efficient as possible and through the process because, again, our job is to deliver America's mail.
From a logistical standpoint, if you would be sitting across the table, whether it be with Postmaster General DeJoy or the Board of Governors, if you would make a recommendation or recommendations for future elections other than standardizing state election laws for receipt of ballots, from a processing standpoint, what recommendation would you make to the postal leadership?
I really tell them that the election mail ballot has to be universal throughout every state. To make sure that you have whether the proper barcode on it and return address and you have the proper markings. And one, if you're going to mail it back, it should be done, to me, as a business reply piece of mail. Now, again, that's telling the Board of Governors and the Postmaster General. I can't tell the states what to do, but one of the things we need to do is make sure that the integrity of the American people's vote is handled properly, and the post office does. Like I said, every vote counts, and that's a right of citizenship. And we just want to make sure when it goes through the system that it has the right markings, and what we can do is have a standardized envelope we're looking for.
Final question on this issue. Based on the information we know, you are fully confident that the ballots that transited the postal system were protected, were secure, and were valid.
Bob, in my heart of hearts, our postal employees did an outstanding job delivering these mail-in ballots, these absentee ballots, and we did an outstanding job. And I am all confidence that we handled everything that we were supposed to with accordance to the law and postal policy.
Great. Last question. Ice cream flavor of the day.
You know, Bob, it is the November. And again, even yesterday was Veterans Day. I want to wish a happy Veterans Day to all our veterans out there. And my dad, who's a veteran, he's in heaven now, so he's my hero in heaven. But as it is November and Thanksgiving is coming up, one of my favorites, Turkey Hill. I know it's Turkey Hill, but it's pumpkin cheesecake. That is one of my favorites, and it's seasonal. I can't wait.
Oh, you look forward. We are looking forward. I'll stay with the with a much more of a traditional chocolate fudge. I'm sorry. In any case, thank you for joining us today, Brian Wagner, president of the National Association of Postal Supervisors.
Thank you, Bob.
To our listeners, if you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and safe until next week.
I'm going to bend right down.